How else do you get the word out that you exist and how you can help?
It's just over time. Like, we haven't had any billboards in Times Square or anything like that. I think the concern is we've got plenty of people asking for things. We've got plenty of people that need help. Like, last year, we had over 1,600 requests for support, and we were able to send out 275 of our supply crates. So that's like an Xbox or a console, some controllers, a headset, some games. We have no shortage of people who know about us and need help. We need people who are able to support and help out.
From the campus of Stanford University and on location, this is the Innovators Radio Show and Podcast. Broadcasts across the Bay Area on 90.1 FM and worldwide at KZSU.org. Featuring in-depth one-on-one interviews with mission-driven entrepreneurs, renowned thought leaders, and game changers committed to ideas and innovation. The Innovators would like to thank Leonid for underwriting the production, writing, and broadcasting of The Innovators. Leonid Capital Partners is the leading private credit firm focused on the United States government sector. The firm offers a variety of flexible financing options for its small and medium-sized business clients, including term loans, lines of credit, venture debt, and acquisition financing. Feel free to learn more at leonidfinance.io. Today, we're honored and truly honored and thrilled to be with Stephen Shanghai Six Machuga, founder and executive director at Stack Up, combating veteran suicide through gaming. Steve is a 1998 Purdue University graduate with a Russian linguistics degree on an ROTC scholarship. In 2003, he deployed to Iraq with the 2nd Infantry Division and carved through the seemingly endless 13-month deployment with the help of video games. Founded in 2015, StackUp brings both veterans and civilian supporters together through a shared love of video gaming using their primary programs, the Stacks, Supply Crates, Air Assaults, and the StackUp Overwatch program, or STOP. Feel free to visit their website at stackup.org. That's stackup.org. Steve, honored to have you on. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on the show, Tom.
Truly honored. Steve, we like to start our show off with, if you have a quote or a mantra that resonates with you personally or professionally, something that, you know, it could be anything that started even in childhood.
Love speech prepared. Maybe you'd like to, in a 3-minute thing. No, I don't have anything. But that said, we've recently been toying around with a new motto. And by we, I mean I have been. StackUp's been going for 10 years now. And the original motto is on my shirt here: veterans are our mission, gaming's our passion. But over the years, recreational therapy has a tone about it that people don't take seriously. They're like, you could be helping veterans so many other ways. You could be doing employment or homelessness or food scarcity or any number of things that veterans need help with. Why are you video games? Why video games? It's happy veterans don't kill themselves. So I've been taking that around touring as far as, hey, that's a pretty succinct way to go over what we do as an organization and get people to understand, like, oh, here's why this is important. And here's what it is. You know, back in the day, it used to be morale, like in the military, where it's keeping guys happy and kept them from doing terrible things for themselves. And yeah, it just goes back to the, if you're feeling good and you're feeling happy, you're that less likely to harm yourself. But yeah, that's a really good place to start.
Steve, I backtrack on this. Also, thank you very much for your service.
It was an honor. I look back on it, it's something I'm very proud I did. It sucked doing it, but boy, looking back on it, it was something else.
Is there anything, Steve, you can recall, and this is going to be a bit of a reach back, but that you can recall even when you were, say, younger, where what you're doing now actually makes sense?
Oh, well, I'm a gamer. So this was a very easy, they say write what you know as an author, and coming up with a business or an organization or something that you believe in wholeheartedly, it's very easy. It's one of those things like, I believe in this. When I came back from Iraq, gaming was a thing that recentered me as I was struggling to acclimatize from the deployments. It was one of those things coming back home. It was a very strange reality of stepping off the plane and going to get a chili dog at the mall after, you know, driving all over Iraq and being in Mosul. And it was a very, very strange change of pace. It took me a while to get accustomed to it. And gaming was the thing that took my mind off things. It was the taste of home I needed while I was deployed forward. And while I was back home, it was the thing that helped fill up those quiet hours at 3 a.m. when I couldn't sleep, or, you know, I was just stressed out or anxious or any number of things. It was the thing that I could unplug my brain and have fun doing and keep myself distracted while I was healing, so to speak. And so, yeah, it was a very easy conversation to have with myself. I started sending Xboxes and PlayStations to guys and gals who were deployed forward. That's how this whole thing started, where it was just like, oh, yeah, hey, we'll backfill MWR facilities, MWR's morale, welfare, and recreation centers forward, like places for guys to hang out and enjoy themselves, like take a breather from being on patrol or sitting in the talk and getting work done. It's, you know, what they do in their leisure time. And if you're telling a guy that they're going to be deployed forward for 12 months, you're going to need to give them something to do other than waking up, going to eat, going to the gym, and then going to work. Like, they need something better than that to stay connected with one another. And, you know, a Halo tournament or a Call of Duty or any number of things is, that is the new, we're going to toss the ball around in the yard. It's playing Call of Duty together. Right now it's all about Helldivers or whatever, Fortnite, Minecraft, any number of games, community-based activities that guys and gals can play together and have a good time doing it. And it puts a smile on people's faces. They have a good time and they forget about their troubles for a while. So it's a big piece of what it is. That's how Stack Up started.
Was there a galvanizing moment where you said, I'm going to actually formalize a program that's not anywhere formalized yet?
Yeah. So back in 2010, when I first started doing charity work back then, my gunner in Iraq redeployed. Like, I had been out a couple years at that point. And I was working in D.C. as a government contractor. I was making pretty good money. And then my gunner in Iraq had redeployed to Afghanistan. And he knew I had some connections to the games industry. So he reached out to me and said, hey, is there any possibility of getting like an Xbox or a PlayStation? Can you reach out and see if you can get us one? We're bored out of our minds over here. Is there anything you can do? And I reached out and made some calls. And boy, the response, again, this is 2010. Not nearly as far away from 9/11 as we are now, post-COVID, supply chain issues. Those were distant future problems that we have to worry about now. But back then, game developers and studios had piles of stuff to give away. Like, they were giving us Xboxes and PlayStations. And the response we initially got back, and I say we, it was the royal we, it's me. The response I got back from my efforts, we got pallets of stuff sent to the house that I flipped and turned around and sent forward to this unit that I was supporting. And we started getting pictures back from the guys. The one picture that started it really was my guy having a DJ Hero competition or a Guitar Hero competition using a borrowed briefing projector off the side of a Connex. And they were smoking cigars. We didn't send those, but it was one of those. It was a really cool series of pictures that he sent back. So we sent those back to Activision, and they were really excited. They thought it was great. You get one Joe in Xbox. Next thing, the guys to the left and right are like, hey, can we get one of those too? And I still got plenty of stuff here. And it started snowballing from there. So yeah, that's how it all started. I had a first run at a charity that didn't work out for a couple of years. And then, but 2015 was when Stack Up was formalized on Veterans Day of 2015. And that's when the ball really started rolling. So
was that by design to have it on Veterans?
Yeah. Yeah. It was okay. Like, hey, let's, why not? If you're going to have a birthday as a military charity, there's only a couple days you could do it. 4th of July, Memorial Day weekend, Veterans Day, makes sense.
How does it make you feel? This is a broad question, but how does it make you feel to know that you are helping to make a difference?
When I first started it, it was a little bit more impactful because every single person I was interacting with, I was the one who was boxing up the gear and taking it to the post office and the one doing all the labor and responding to the individual emails and getting the pictures back. Now we're a $1 million charity. And so I have people that do the actual work. And now it's a bunch of spreadsheets and fundraising, and I'm a little removed from the day-to-day as far as interacting with veterans and helping them out. But we still get dozens of pictures back. I have, you know, happy guys and gals, and it's, that's it gets easy to forget that there are people behind those emails and those requests. But when I stop from sprinting 100 miles an hour and I really sit and think about it, we're coming up on our 10th year, and we'll have helped over 50,000 veterans in 10 years, which is wild when you really sit and think about it. So, but again, each one of those veterans have a story that I'll never know all of them, but I just knowing that we were able to help out a little bit like that, it can really take your breath away if you look at it closely enough.
We're talking today with Steve Machuga, founder and executive director at Stack, combating veteran suicide through gaming. For more information, feel free to visit their website at stackup.org. Steve, you and I talked about a week ago before we came on the show, and I was totally taken back as an understatement about the suicides on a day-to-day, and you read some of the statistics that are known and quantifiable, but that number may actually be double. Share with your audience today what some of those statistics are and how we can help positively affect that.
Sure. So if you play around in the veteran scene at all, 22 veterans killing themselves a day is the popular number. There's a variety of charities out there that are called 22 a day or 22 kill or any of these other organizations that are promoting that number as, hey, 22 veterans are killing themselves a day. And that's great. But that number was from back in 2012 when it first started. We've come a long way from 22 a day. And unfortunately, when you look at the conversation around where they came up with that number, there are a lot of veterans that are not being accounted for based on those numbers. First off, it's the VA that's doing the counting, and they don't count, like, their suicide, veteran suicide is not always a fixed number. It's if you have a veteran that decides that, you know, they're going to kill themselves, whether it's they're going to get drunk and drive into traffic or drive into a tree or take drugs and just go to sleep, that doesn't get counted as a suicide. That gets counted as I don't even know what you would call it. But bottom line is there's a lot of ways to make it not look like a suicide. And drug overdose is a very popular way to end one's life, unfortunately, in the veteran community. Obviously, firearms is the big one, but drug overdose is another big one. Unless there's a letter sitting there, it's hard to get somebody's motivation. Did they screw up and overdose, or were they trying to just go to sleep and not wake up? Big difference. And so there's also the conversation about the veterans that are not being counted by the VA. This was a poll done, and I forgot who did the action. I don't have it on me, but they're just not counting all the veterans. I mean, between drug overdoses and car accidents, if it's not a 45 caliber bullet in somebody's head, it's hard to count as a suicide all the time. And so this other study, which I'm sorry, I don't have the people that put it together, I think it was Duke University, they're saying the number is closer to 40 a day at this point, which again makes sense. It's the 22 a day are the numbers of the veterans that the VA are able to get their hands around, like as far as count metrics. But it's any metric where it's like, you're not going to get everybody. Not everybody's going to fill out your form or do your 5-minute opinion piece or your poll. You're not going to get everybody in that situation. So you're definitely missing some numbers in there. And there really hasn't been much that's changed over the last 10 years that the VA is still doing what the VA does and all these organizations are doing what we're doing. But the number really hasn't come down at all. There's no reason it should have. We haven't done anything differently as far as a grand sweeping, hey, we really need to change what we're doing as a society when it comes to helping veterans. Veteran mental health is a long-term conversation, and that's not what the VA is built for. The VA is built for, here's a pill, here's 12 sessions at a therapist, and then good luck. Like, that's all we got for you, because we've got a line out the door of veterans that we've broken over the last 20 years, and we don't have time to fix them all. So it's decades of counseling and therapy and PTSD, post-traumatic stress therapies, and all kinds of different, no one size fits all fix. So organizations like Stack Up and Team Rubicon and Red, White, and Blue, and all these different organizations that are just out there, I don't know, maybe we could go run a marathon, or maybe we could go do disaster relief somewhere or something to bring you, make you feel alive again, make you feel like you're a part of a team, something bigger to help keep you from killing yourself. Because that's really all we have left is community. being a part of a team, being a part of something larger is a protective factor when it comes to veteran suicide. So there's no reason gaming and online gaming shouldn't be a part of that, because it's a huge piece. You can impact veterans in a place where they feel that they are comfortable. They don't have to go to the VA. They don't have to get in their car here in Los Angeles and drive an hour to get somewhere and meet up. And you can literally do it from the comfort of your own home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's the important part, because veteran suicide isn't a 9-to-5 thing.
Well stated. Steve, is there a program in place, or may there, for some of the gaming manufacturers and developers to where a stack up, I'm just looking here at my studio laptop, where you have, example, NVIDIA GeForce GTX. It's just a thumbnail basically sticked on there. Whereas there's, the manufacturers actually have a connection to where each piece is sent out. They're either donating or contributing to stack up for a unit. So when someone receives the unit, they see, oh, wow, I can contact these people, not just as a game, but to also, this is an organization that helps people with their lives, to give them hope.
Sorry, I missed the question there. Was that
it? It might be lengthy. If there's the product, when it's an Xbox or an Xbox is sent out, if you have just a sticker or something on the menu, on the unit itself, that has an acknowledgement for stack up that this is what you guys do, real quick and as well.
Oh, for us, yes. Yeah, we've had to manually put that stuff on, like games and physical care packages and things like that, to let people know this isn't just a random individual. So when we send our supply crates over, we send over a box and we send over marketing materials with it and T-shirts with our logo on it, and get pictures as a part of the arrangement we have when we send these stuff down, send these boxes downrange. We ask for pictures back. So it's a matter of our team will reach out to each individual that we support and have a conversation with them, let them know, hey, here's what we're trying to do. Do you understand what we're doing for you? And can you help us out with the marketing as far as taking pictures and showing that we're supporting you? There's definitely a conversation back and forth. So as far as getting the credit, as it were.
How else do you get the word out that you exist and how you can help?
It's just over time. Like, we haven't had any billboards in Times Square or anything like that. It is, I think the concern is we've got plenty of people asking for things. We've got plenty of people that need help. Like last year, we had over 1,600 requests for support, and we were able to send out 275 of our supply crates. So that's like an Xbox or a console. It's like a Nintendo Switch, some controllers, a headset, some games. Like, it's about $1,000, $1,500 a pop. But you multiply that by 275. But we have no shortage of people who know about us and need help. We need people who are able to support and help out. That's the hard part. Because it's like, hey, do you want to come do this event on a base? Or do you want to let people know? Or it's like, hey, we're kind of good. We got plenty of people that we already have to help already. But yeah, just it's a word of mouth thing. And you do something long enough, it just gets out there in a good way. And we recently have connected with the VA. As I was saying earlier, the VA is having a hard time. They see veteran suicide as a non-infectious disease. They don't know what else to call it. So it's one of these things that they are now recognizing that gaming can be utilized in a way that they're trying to get their hands around it. They just started this task force around gaming, and we're meeting once a quarter to talk it over and see what we can do, because they're trying to get the VA doesn't exactly have the best track record with veterans. So they're trying to, how can we be better liked in the space? And so, yeah, this is one way to do it. So we're working with them as well it's just word of mouth, doing the work and having people tell one person, tell two people, and two people tell four people. And it just gets out there and you just keep doing it. And that's how it works.
What was, if you can think of a significant challenge in launching Stack Up that you've overcome or your organization's overcome?
Every year, every December, we get to the finish line and we all look at each other like, how did we do that? Primarily fundraising. It's the fundraising thing. Every year we live on a shoestring budget where we are just barely getting by, and then we cross the finish line. Wow, we made it. And then January 4th, we all look at each other and goes, all right, let's try to raise $1 million again. It's a lot. That's the challenge. I just, as in most of the world right now, we had to lay off a third of our staff in January because there's just the money just isn't coming in. Charity is something you do when you have extra money, and who has that in this economy right now? So charity is something, you know, it's been tricky, and we're just watching layoffs and organizations closing. We got two mental health organizations that I've been working with for years, and one of them just blew up the other day, and we had a whole, you know, they haven't been paying their staff apparently. And then the other one's like, we need $200,000 or we're going to have to close up. And it's, wow, it's getting crazy out there. But that's where we're at right now. So it's not so much doing the work, it's finding the money to pay the people to do the work. So that's the hard part. But we have been doing this for 15 years now, and it just manages to work itself out in the end. And I don't know how it does, but like that scene from It's a Wonderful Life at the end where, you know, they're all standing around the Christmas tree and they're just dumping piles of money. And it's just like, it's happening. I just wish there was a more solid form of, hey, starting from scratch every year and then going, all right, let's do that again. It would be nice to have a more consistent form of revenue. But again, being a charity, you don't get that. You don't have that luxury. So,
yeah. Do you brace for that prior to January 1?
Oh, yeah. We know we've been doing it long enough that it's like we have two major fundraising pushes through the year, and that's Memorial Day weekend and Veterans Day weekend. And those are our two big like flagship events. And then we raise a bunch of money in November, we raise a bunch of money in May, and then it's okay, now we're going to coast for the next 5 months until the next fundraiser. Like, we have to make that money last in a way that it's like, this runs out, there's no more money coming in, so we need to make it work. But yeah, it's our special blend of herbs and spices have been working this long, and it keeps doing it. So it's like, it's breathtaking, and so far it's been working out, you know.
What keeps you motivated and diligent with this with your movement?
I think the exciting part is every year that goes by. So when I first started this 15 years ago now, which is wild to think about, when I first started doing this, there was a lot of patting my head and, oh, that's nice, that's cute, you're sending Xboxes overseas, that's adorable, that's nice, that's great. Over the years, there has been a feeling of, at the C level, like your CEOs, CTOs, your people who make decisions at major organizations, your Fortune 500 companies, bunch of old gray white hairs that don't understand what gaming is, that don't understand they don't get it. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's something that nerds play in their parents' basements and get a job and all that, all the negative connotations around gaming at the C level. So anytime we would try to do something, it'd be like, well, you know, our C staff, they're not really digging it. They're thinking more about doing this, that, and the other thing. They don't understand it. And every year that goes by, one of those guys retires, and his 40-year-old son, who's been playing games since he could wear jeans or pants, like that kid has been raised on iPads with Minecraft or Fortnite or the internet, and he gets it. And that person's, yeah, I totally understand why you would do this. This totally makes sense. I come home, I take my suit and tie off, and I play around a Warzone, or I play Call of Duty or Fortnite or any number of games, like, to decompress. And they understand it. And every year it gets a little easier to have that conversation because more and more people are gamers now. It's a $200 billion industry. It's the analogy I use is this time last year, the Super Mario Brothers movie came out the weekend after the Dungeons and Dragons movie came out. And I'm like, if you need more of and both destroyed at the box office, like they just cleaned up. So it's, if you need more of a sign that the nerds won and this is the way the world is going, you know, I don't know what more to point at, but that is definitely along the lines of, this is a thing. It's not just for nerds and geeks anymore. Rock and roll isn't the devil's music. It's really cool. And you're just going to have to get on board or we're just going to run you over. And every day it's exciting because I know what we're doing is impactful. The people having personally felt that way and having interacted with all these people over the years and how much it's made a difference in their lives, I know we're on the right track. And every day I wake up and it's one of those, like, someday somebody's going to come along and go, you know what? Blank check. We're going to get you guys to where you need to be. What do you need from us? We're going to make this happen. And I know it's coming. It's just a matter of, can I keep my head above water for this organization long enough? I think we can. Again, we've got to an autopilot kind of, we can raise $1 million a year. It's just extremely stressful. So yeah, as we're just treading water over here, doing great things and continuing to hope that Oprah comes along and just drops a big bag of money on us. But I know we're on the right track, and that's the important part.
Well said. Steve, what would you like to share with your audience today that we may not have touched on or talked about?
If you're interested in finding out more or want to get involved, we have a very robust volunteer organization around us. Stackup.org is the website. Our Discord channel, we have over 7,000 people over there. It's discord.gg/stackup.org. Look us up over there. That's where our suicide prevention team is at. If you need someone to talk to, that's where our folks are hanging out. Our programs, we never really talked about the programs, what we do. Stack Up, obviously, our supply crates is our big keystone item. That's where we send box up games and gear, send them to units deployed forward, guys and gals recovering in military hospitals, and folks that are just struggling back home. We have our air assault program where we fly disabled or deserving veterans to various gaming and geek culture events like Disney or studio tours, things like that. We have our Stacks program, which is our volunteer units. We got about 30 teams nationwide that go out and do volunteer work. And then we have our Overwatch program, which is, as I was saying, in our Discord channel. If some our peer-to-peer suicide prevention team online through Discord, if somebody needs someone to talk to, that's where you show up. And then lastly, we opened up our headquarters here in Los Angeles a couple of years ago. It's a mansion that we've retrofitted into a community center for veterans. We call it Phalanx House. It's here in Van Nuys. And we have events here all the time for veterans. Just here locally, just bringing guys who are struggling, give them a place to come hang out and play games with one another and really give them something to look forward to each week. But that's us. That's what Stack Up is. I probably should have said that about 25 minutes ago, but you know.
No, it's perfect. It's this opportunity for you to share that. Thank you. Steve, it's been a real honor, privilege, and joy, frankly, talking with you about Stack Up and what you guys do. I hope you consider coming back again because I'd love to have you. I think
of course,
there's more
to
talk
always
about.
Happy to come on around May and November. Those are great times to come on when you're talking veterans.
Okay, I make note of that. And again, a real honor talking with you. And thank you very much for being on the show today. Truly appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. You've been listening to the Innovators Radio Show and Podcast. I'm yours truly, Tom Dioro. Today, our guest, Steve Machuga, joined us. He's a founding. In 2015, Stack Up brings both veterans and civilian supporters together through a shared love of video gaming using their primary programs, the Stacks, Supply Crates, Aerosols, and the Stack Up Overwatch program, or STOP. The Innovators would like to thank Leonid for underwriting the production, writing, and broadcasting of The Innovators. Leonid Capital Partners is the leading private credit firm focused on the United States government sector. The firm offers a variety of flexible financing options for its small and medium-sized business clients, including term loans, lines of credit, venture debt, and acquisition financing. Feel free to learn more at leonidfinance.io. Our show today is recorded at KZSU, Stanford University's FM radio station, broadcasts across the Bay Area on 90.1 FM and worldwide at kzsu.org. Our recording engineer is Stephen Blanton, and our chief engineer is Mark Lawrence. We hope you enjoyed the show and look forward to you hearing us next time. Thanks again for listening.